ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय We're reading from Canto 6, Chapter 5, Text 23, Narada Muni cursed by Prajapati Daksha. Nasham nishamya putranam Narada shilashai shalinam Anvatapataka shochan Suprajastvam shicham param Nasham nishamya putranam Narada shilashalinam Anvatapataka shochan Suprajastvam shicham param Chant Ashani Shamya Putranam Arashila Shalinam Manyata Pratika Shochan Superjasam Shisham Padam Nasham Shamya Putranam Navarachila Shalinam Anvatapyataka Shocham Suprajastam Shuchamparam Nashani Shamya Putranam Avadashila Shalinam Anvatapyataka Shocham Suprajastam Shishamparam Ladies. Ashani Shamya Putranam Narada Shilashalinam Anvatapyataka Shocham Prajastam Shicham Param Nasham, the loss. Nishamya, hearing of. Putranam, of his sons. Narad, from Narada. Shilashalinam, who were the best of well behaved persons. Anvatapyata suffered ka Prajapati Daksha Shochan lamenting Suprajastvam having 10,000 well behaved sons Shicham of lamentation Param position Translation by Srila Prabhupada. The Haryatva sons of Prajapati Daksha were very well-behaved, cultured sons. But unfortunately, because of the instructions of Narada Muni, they deviated from the order of their father. When Daksha heard this news, which was brought to him by Narada Muni, he began to lament. Although he was the father of such good sons, he had lost them all, certainly. This was lamentable. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Haryashvas, sons of Prajapati, Daksha, were certainly well-behaved, learned, and advanced. And in accordance with the order of their father, they went to perform austerities to beget good sons for their family. But Narada Muni took advantage of their good behavior and culture to properly direct them not to be involved with this material world, but to use their culture and knowledge to end their material affairs. The Haryashas abided by the order of Narada Muni. But when news of this was brought to Prajapati Daksha, the Prajapati, instead of being happy with the actions of Narada Muni, was extremely sorrowful. Similarly, we are trying to bring as many young men as possible to the Krishna consciousness movement for their ultimate benefit. But the parents of the young men joining this movement, being very sorry, are lamenting and making counter-propaganda. Of course, Prajapati Daksha did not make propaganda against Narada Muni, but later, as we shall see, Daksha cursed Narada Muni for his benevolent activities. This is the way of materialistic life. A materialistic father and mother want to engage their sons in begetting children, striving for improved economic conditions, and rotting in materialistic life. They are not unhappy when their children become spoiled, useless citizens, but they lament when they join the Krishna consciousness movement to achieve the ultimate goal of life. This animosity between parents and the Krishna conscious movement has existed since time immemorial. Even Narada Muni was condemned not to speak of others. Nevertheless, Narada Muni never gives up his mission. To deliver as many fallen souls as possible, he continues playing his musical instrument and vibrating a transcendental sound. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So Daksha is representing the pravrti marg, the path of enjoyment. And Narada Muni is the leader of the nivritti marg, the path of renunciation, the path of going back to home, back to Godhead. Of course, even in the pravrti marg, it can be used to go back to Godhead, but Daksha was not thinking like that so much. He wanted lots of children. He wanted all the material things. So here is an example. The Haryashvas are an example of somebody who left the path of pravrti marg to join the nivritti marg. They gave up their duties in the varnashram system and became renounced and took up their spiritual life. So when we leave our duties in this world, sometimes we meet different types of opposition to take up the spiritual path, as Prabhupada talks about that. The parents are one type of opposition. The parents, my parents were okay. They had 8 children, so, you know, one goes, you got 7 more still. But my mother did phone me up somehow, and we did, and I was in Calcutta, I was the pujari, and in the 70s, maybe 1975 or 6, she somehow got a phone call through to Calcutta. And I had a very high fever, and I answered the phone, and she said, "Come home. Why don't you come home?" And I said, "Mom, I have work to do here. I can't come home just yet." So after 10 years, I finally went, not home, but to America. Because Prabhupada, he told my husband and I we should go to India. So we took a one-way ticket. He didn't tell us to go back, so I'm still here since 1972. I didn't go back. I mean, now I go out and preach, but I still stay in India. So the opposition of the parents, opposition of the government, American and Indian, opposition of the smarta Brahmins. So the first, I'd like to discuss first the opposition that we meet, and the second part of the class would be about what happens if we leave our material duties and take up spiritual life. Will there be a loss? And the third part will be how Prabhupada talks about Narada Muni, how even though we may not have perfect material life, still we have to continue our mission somehow or other to spread Krishna consciousness, which is the order of Srila Prabhupada. So the parents, when I was traveling, then somebody told me that the children became devotees, or one son became a devotee, and the parents said, "No, no, we'll give you all the money you want. You just become a hippie and keep taking drugs and intoxication. It's much better for you than this renunciation." So this is the parents. Brahmananda was telling how his mother, she came to visit Prabhupada. Many parents came to visit Prabhupada. So Brahmananda and Gargamuni's mother came, and she was sitting on a folding chair, and she asked Prabhupada, "What are you doing with my boys?" So Prabhupada said, "I'm feeding them, I'm taking care of your sons, you know. Actually, we have no income. Maybe you'd like to give a donation." And so the mother looked at Prabhupada, she looked at her sons, she said, "I've already given a donation, I've donated my sons." So he said, "Yes, very good, Prabhupada." Another one is Govindadasi's father. Now he was really upset because he went to Prabhupada. And when he went to see Prabhupada, there were some Indians also there around. It was in some place in America. And he said, "Why you give my daughter an Indian name?" And the Indians were listening carefully. What's Prabhupada going to say? So Prabhupada said, "You don't like Indians?" So the father said, "Yeah, I like Indians, all right, but why you had to give my daughter an Indian name?" So then Prabhupada said, "Well, if your daughter is happy, why would you object?" So Prabhupada, he knew how to charm the parents, if they came to visit him, of course, and he knew how to do that. So the government in the United States, we were in America for a year and a half, and we were just doing, you know, Harinam, two of us, my husband and I, not a big party, on the streets in Jacksonville, and they said we were obstructing the traffic, so they put us in jail. You know, so this was in the West, they would just put you in jail, and then of course the next day you come out usually when they see you don't eat anything and they're afraid you're going to starve to death. So, but yeah, this was the government. We came to India, and the Indian government, they said, "We are the CIA agents come to take over India." And who was telling me, what was it, I can't remember which devotee it was, and one time he was in Braj, in Vrindavan, and the villagers surrounded him and said, you know, they were angry, "You're CIA, you came here to take over India." And, oh, it was Gurudas. And Gurudas said, "Well, I'm not actually, what CIA is going to get up early in the morning and chant 16 rounds and give up intoxication and all these things?" He said, "But there is one secret I would like you to tell me about your things, and that is, I want to know how to make gulab jamuns. You give me that secret." And that made them very happy, and they all slapped him on the back and said, "Okay, all right, we'll give you." So this was the opposition in India. And another way the opposition was there is they wouldn't give us visa. For the first 10 years, we couldn't stay longer than 6 months in India, from 72 to 82. Then finally, I think they saw Indira Gandhi, and then they started to give like 1 year visas. Before, we were just on tourist visas. So we went to Nepal 3 times, where we were the first to get visa. We were the first devotees in Nepal, went to Bangladesh 2 times, we went to Pakistan 3 times, and we went to Bangkok 3 times, and Singapore, and all the country. Burma, we were the first devotees. So this was the opposition that we had to face. But we were determined not to leave. It was Prabhupada's order. So we just kept going. And then there were the smarter Brahmins. Yeah, you are, just like when Lord Chaitanya was spreading this movement in India, then the opposition was from the smarter Brahmins. They said, "Oh, he is ruining the Hindu religion. He made Haridas Thakur Muslim. He made him Namacharya." And even, and when we came to India, "How can you give these people Brahman initiation? They're mlechas." And the women, all the temples, except the only exception was Mayapur, all the temples, the women were the pujaris. And nobody cared, nobody objected. The people were okay with it. I even met one Gaudiya Math lady. She came to the temple. She was a pujari in the Gaudiya Math. She said, "Oh yeah, we are the same." And so it was the people were okay. It was just a few that had their objections. So Prahlad Maharaj, he talks about this in his prayers. He says, if a Brahmin has all the 12 qualifications as stated in the book called Sanat Sujata, but is not a devotee and is averse to the lotus feet of the Lord, he is lower than a dog eater who is a devotee of the Lord. And he can't even purify himself, but the dog eater who is a devotee can purify his whole family. So it's described that Jamana Jayate Shudra. Everyone is born Shudra in this Kali Yuga, or anytime. Everyone is born Shudra, usually, but in Kali Yuga especially. Sanskara Bhaved Dvija. But by performing sanskaras, you can become a dvija, or twice born. Just like the bird is also twice born. He's a dvija. First he comes out as the egg, and then he has to break out of the eggshell. So we are born in the eggshell of ignorance. And when we take initiation, we break out of the shell, and we're twice born. So sanskara bhaved dvija vipra, vedapata bhaved vipra. A vipra, he knows the Vedas. These are different levels of Brahmins. So Prahlad is talking about this kind of Brahmin, that he knows the Vedas, but he's not a devotee. He's lower than a devotee who is chanting Hare Krishna and trying to spread this movement. So this was the opposition we were meeting. And the next topic is, if we leave our material duties, there is no loss. There is a beautiful verse in, again by Narada Muni, to Vyasa in the first canto, fifth chapter, verse number 17. Beautiful verse. He says, Chakta satarmam charanam bhajamare bhajanna pakvota patetato yadi bhajagva batram abut amushikim kovarta apto bhajatam swadharmata. One who has forsaken his material occupations to engage in devotional service of the Lord may sometimes fall down while in an immature stage, yet there is no danger of his being unsuccessful. On the other hand, a non-devotee, though fully engaged in occupational duties, does not gain anything. So before I go on with this topic, I would just like to tell you a few of the objections that Prajapati Daksha, later on he will bring them up. He said, you have obstructed my son's progress toward good fortune in this world and the next, because they're still indebted to the saintly persons, the demigods, and their father. We have debts when we're born. We have to pay to the demigods, to our parents, to the saints. But of course, in Bhagavatam it states, Devarshi Bhutapta, Ninam Prachinam, Nakinkaranayam Rini Narajan, that one who is taking up devotional service, he has no more debts to pay. Actually, I left a debt when I became a devotee, my college debt. My father paid it. It was nice of him. But actually, I became a devotee and Krishna took care of everything. So these debts are automatically taken care of. Our duties are automatically taken care of. If you become a devotee, your family's taken care of. So, but what happens if, you know, you're going on in your devotional service, but then you blew it, you blow it, you blew. As we say, you leave Krishna consciousness. And so you're not here, you're not there. Sometimes in middle age, devotees decide, okay, I've had enough, let me enjoy. Because Prabhupada disciples, we sacrificed our youth for Prabhupada. So then when you hit the middle age years, you start thinking, oh, yeah, it's still not too late, let me try. Let me get married again, or whatever. If you're not married, let me get married. But actually, it does still, even if they leave Krishna consciousness, Krishna will not forget all the service that they have done. Prabhupada will not forget. So Narada is saying, well, if they give up everything, like Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Sarva Dharma Pitaja, Mami Kam Sharanam Vrija, then the second part, Ahang Tam, Aham Tam, what? Thank you. Sarva Pebhyo Moksha Shami Mashisha. I know you know that verse, good. Thank you for your help. So they'll give up everything, surrender to me. So that's what Narada is saying. He told these boys, don't, you know, you listen to your real father. Daksha's not your real father. You have a father in every birth, so many fathers. But your real father is spiritual. In my initiation letter, Srila Prabhupada said the same thing. He said, yes, you have your material mother and father, but now your spiritual master, he's the real father. Because he is the father of your soul. He will make your soul expand and fill it with love of Krishna. So Prabhupada, he commented on a lecture in New Vrindavan that these people in America, the becoming devotees, they were meat eaters. They were abominable. They were fallen. But because in their last life they had some advancement, immediately they're taking it up. He said, so those who are joining this movement, in their previous life they were Krishna conscious. Somehow or other they couldn't finish. So they're born in a country where there's no trace of Krishna consciousness. But anyway, there's no loss. There is one of my godbrothers, Bajahari. He was working in a steel factory in UK. And he told Prabhupada, I almost had a nervous breakdown from the strain. You know, molten hot, it's like being in hell, actually. Molten hot steel, and you have to be there. Prabhupada said, actually, in your last life, you were all brahmanas. Otherwise, how could you come so quickly to this movement? Actually, my Guru Maharaj has ordered all of you to take birth to help me spread this movement. That goes for all of you, too. You're also ordered. You're also here. And he said, now we are all together again. So, Prabhupada said that Krishna consciousness is like hot sugarcane juice. Very nice, very tasty, very sweet. But because it's so hot, you feel a bit uncomfortable to take it. Sometimes the mercy comes and it's a bit uncomfortable to accept the mercy as it comes, the way it comes. So Krishna consciousness is so nice, but we can't give it up. So we get the taste, you cannot forget. So once Prabhupada said, you say, Krishna, I'm yours, Krishna will never leave you. Another example of somebody coming very quickly to Krishna consciousness in Vrindavan, the example is Aindra Prabhu. Aindra, it was Washington, D.C., and he heard the Harinam party. And as soon as he heard the Harinam, that was it. He just started running after the Harinam, and when he lost one of his shoes, and the devotee said, why don't you go back and get your shoe? He said, no, I'm not going back. And he just joined, that was it. That was the end of his material life. He just joined the Harinam party. And in Ireland, I was told there's one devotee who left Krishna consciousness because he said, oh, Mangalarti, it's just too early. How can anyone be up so early in the morning? That was one excuse or one objection. And the second objection was, you know, in the bathroom, there's no toilet paper. So this is just too much. I'm going. So he left. He got a job in a factory, in a warehouse, paper warehouse. And he had the night shift. So one night at 2 o'clock in the morning, he was thinking about what happened to him. He said, you know, I used to get up 4 o'clock, now I'm here at 2 o'clock, working hard. And then his forklift punctured the box, and out from the box came hundreds of rolls of toilet paper. So Krishna fulfilled his desire materially, that he got all the toilet paper he wanted. Then he realized, oh, Krishna's joke, I better just go back to the temple. This is not... So Krishna will not let you forget. Once you can try to go away, you can try to forget. You can try to forget, but Krishna won't allow it. Krishna won't allow it. So anyone, if you come here, if you sincerely chanted Hare Krishna once, if you've done any service for Srila Prabhupada, it's being counted, it's being put in your spiritual bank account, and you won't lose it. It'll be there for you. Even in this life, even in next life. Srila Prabhupada said that every obeisance, every mantra we chant, every mouth of prasadam, every mouthful we take, is being put into our spiritual bank account. And when we have enough money, when it's full, then we can purchase Krishna. So we should keep putting stuff in our spiritual bank account, and don't worry, the day will come when you will purchase Krishna. Even when it's not full, still Krishna helps. Right from the beginning, actually, there is a purport in Canto 9, Chapter 4, about Maharaj Ambarish and how he was protected by the Sudarshan Chakra. So it's described that Prabhupada says in the purport, right from the very beginning, you're protected by Krishna. You have this protection. So therefore, we should take advantage of our fortunate position. So now comes the last part of the class, and that's about taking up the mission of Srila Prabhupada. So there is a seed. It's said Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has told Rupa Goswami that there is the Bhakti Lata Beach, the plant of Bhakti, and we just have to water it. It's in all of our hearts. We've all gotten the seed of Bhakti. But we should not think, oh, okay, I got it. Now I can just sleep. Just like when I was Pujari in Calcutta in 1970s, maybe 76 it happened. It was, I think, after the Mayapur festival, Prabhupada would come before and after he would come to Calcutta. So one time he came and he came for Darshan Arti, and that particular Arti, I had, people kept giving me so many flowers. I mean, we had uphill and flowers anyway. We had 50 garlands every day for just Radha Govinda, Lord Chaitanya, and Jagannath. So I would change the flowers 5 times a day. But this day, people just kept coming, and I kept putting them on all over the place, and Prabhupada, he liked it. He really liked the flowers. He liked it. So he came for darshan. He sat on his Vyasasan, surrounded by like 10 sannyasis. And he called us up. He called my husband and I up. And he said, thank you very much for decorating. And he said Radha Madhava so nicely instead of Radha Govinda. But anyway, you know, same Radha Govinda is Radha Madhava, is Radha Shamsundar. So then afterwards, one sannyasi came up to us and he said, did you hear what Prabhupada said when you were offering obeisances? We said, no. He said, be blessed. So I said, wow, my life's perfect. I got the blessings. But then the next day I realized, well, okay, yesterday I got the blessing. Today I have to earn them again. It's not like you get the blessing and then you're finished. It's true, your life is perfect, but it's not that you can live, you can retire at the age of whatever. I think I must have been like 27 or 28 at the time. Cannot retire and okay, I got the blessings. Let me just go and chant Hare Krishna in Vrindavan or do something. No, you have to keep earning the blessings of your spiritual master. And that's what Prabhupada is saying. Okay, if you fall down, that's something, but don't be careless. Be careful. Be careful. Always try to remember where we came from. So not only there is a plant of bhakti in our heart, there's a tree of bhakti in this universe. And Lord Chaitanya is the trunk. And Lord Chaitanya is the gardener. And he's also the distributor. And he was not considering who is qualified, who is not qualified to get the fruits. He just distributed, just please take, love of Godhead. And he gave an order to all the branches of his tree. He said, I'm the only gardener. How many fruits can I distribute? How many places can I go? So I order every person in this universe to accept the Krishna conscious movement and distribute it everywhere. So there is a verse in the Bhagavatam 11th canto describing Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So I'll just sing that verse for you. It's a nice verse. Jagdashtudusadasarepsitarajalakshmim tarmishta aryavachasayaragat aranyam mayamrika daitayepsitan yadhavad vande mahapurushate charanaravindam. So the most wonderful part of this verse is where he says, Mayamriga Dayita Epsita Anvadadva. That means that in this material world, people are like animals, mriga, and they're chasing after Maya. Maya is, they're chasing, they're looking, they want to enjoy. But Lord Chaitanya is chasing after them and trying to give them Krishna consciousness. Just like we had one devotee, Parthasarthi Prabhu, and he was in Iraq. And he was chasing after the other soldiers to give them Krishna consciousness. And there was one soldier who would always go the other direction. Whenever he would come with a book and he would say, oh no, not me, But then this soldier was dying at one point. And he called Parthasarathy and said, okay, tell me what's in the book. So even, you know, there are no atheists in the foxholes, they say. In the war, in the front, there are no atheists. So this, he was running, but actually he got the mercy, finally, at the time of death. We should not wait that long. Of course, we aren't waiting. We are taking the mercy. But we should try. We should take up this desire of Lord Chaitanya, chase the conditioned souls. And he says later on, distribute this Krishna conscious movement all over the world. Let people eat the fruits and become free from old age and death. So this is Amrita, this is the elixir of immortality, which we have and which we are drinking every day. So it is our duty to also give it to others. We have to share the mercy. So in the form of books, books are there. I'll just finish with one story about book distribution. I got this story when I was traveling. I think it's from Eastern Europe. Yes. This is from Eastern Europe, the story. There was one man who got a Bhagavad Gita. And his roommate was a drunkard, or his brother. I can't remember if it was a relative or someone who was living with this man was a drunkard. He was drinking all day, all night. And he saw the book, and he picked it up, and he read one line, and then he got angry and threw it. Ah, terrible. But then the day came when this man drank so much, he became unconscious. And the Yamadutas came to get him. And the Yamadutas took him to Yamaraj. And Yamaraj was telling him, you are so sinful. You must suffer so much time in hell. What are you going to do now? So the drunkard, somehow he remembered the line in Bhagavad Gita that he read. And he said, he just repeated that line and then he became conscious again. Wow, what was that? He picked up the Gita, read the whole Gita, found the address and joined the temple. But then, you know, after a while, he was a brahmachari, very austere life. He was thinking, you know, this is too much. I need to go and have a drink, really, dearly. This life is very austere. I think a drink will help me out a lot. So he left, went to the bar, was drinking the whole day, the whole night. And then it was time for the bar to close. And the bartender said to him, we're closing now. What are you going to do now? And the guy said, oh my God, oh. And he ran back to the temple. And because it was the same thing that Yamaraj said to him. So Krishna has his ways of bringing us back when we forget. So therefore, Krishna will catch us, but we should not take advantage of this. We should not, you know, test Krishna, test the limits of Krishna's mercy. We should be introspective. And we should ask, what are we going to do now? What can I do to help Srila Prabhupada spread this movement? What can I do to help others advance the spiritual life? So that is the purpose of our life as followers of Srila Prabhupada. And Lord Chaitanya said, make your life perfect and help others. So we may not be completely perfect, but we have something which Prabhupada has given us, each and every one of us. And that's something we can give to others. So thank you very much, Hare Krishna. If you have any questions, we do have time somehow. I'm in the time limit according to this clock. Now I don't know about the real time. If you have any questions, you can ask them. Yes?
The tendency is, even we are not so young, still to think that I still have time, no? The
tendency is to think I have lots of time.
Yeah. So what is the means to counteract this? this mentality.
Okay, so the tendency is to think we have lots of time. Well, old age helps a lot to help you realize you don't have much time left. You wake up in the morning and something's missing, your ear doesn't work or your eyes won't open. I had that experience one day. My eyes wouldn't open. What's going on? Took a while. Or something's missing, or the pain is here, or the pain is there. Of course, when you're young, then it's difficult. It is difficult. If the children are born into our movement, they usually have a natural Krishna consciousness that's in their blood and cannot be removed. But yes, how to realize the urgency of time? I think don't worry about it. Krishna will help you. Because even if you're not old, the world is going down at such a rate. And then there you have the visa problem. You have so many things. The time is very, very, it's counted. You have to count your time here. You may not live, to see the next day. We don't know. We don't know how much time we have. Certain number of breaths. When the breaths are finished, then, of course, if you're a yogi, you can extend your life, hold your breath for a few hundred years. But for devotees, this is a symptom of bhava, that you don't waste time, that you understand the value of time, that your time is very, very, it's the most valuable thing we have, except for, of course, Krishna consciousness. But in this world, time is the most valuable. If you give your time to someone, you give yourself to someone, and you cannot buy it back, as Prabhupada said. You may have $1 million, but you can't buy time. You may be on your deathbed, you say, okay, doctor, I need 2-3 more years and I'll finish. No, you cannot buy your time. You cannot buy it back. So we need to take advantage of the time we have. Any other questions? Yes? Not wasting the time means giving the self. Giving your eyes, giving your ears, giving your tongue, giving your body, giving your mind especially. Giving your mind at all minutes of the day, every second of the day, where is your mind? Even while you're chanting Hare Krishna, where is the mind? The mind is the center of the senses. Yes, so giving yourself. Self means body, mind, intelligence. Soul means a lot of things, because we're in the material world. So we have the soul, but there's a lot of things that go on top of it at this point. So all of those things we have to give, plus the mind. I mean, the mind is also the material, but the soul, plus the soul. Devotion. Anything else? Okay, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.